Welcome to the scorching arena of valor and the crucible of courage. This is the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Here in the inferno of life's greatest challenges, heroes are shaped and legends are born. Every episode is a torchlight of wisdom, casting a glow on the paths walked by those who've braved the flames and emerged stronger. In this furnace of fortitude, we'll explore tales of resilience, bravery, and the unyielding human spirit. Each guest brings their own spark of insight, lighting up the darkness and guiding us through the smoke of adversity. With Fireman Rob at the helm, prepared to delve into conversations that smolder with significance and stories that kindle the soul. It's not just a podcast, it's a beacon for all who seek to rise from the ashes and glow with purpose. So stoke the fires of your curiosity and ready your heart for tales of triumph and transformation. The flames are roaring. The stage is ablaze. Welcome to the Forged in the Fires podcast. Let the journey begin.
All right, welcome back to Forged in the Fires podcast. I'm your host, Fireman Rob. Today's guest, well, he's been all over the world, but just like we were just talking a few seconds ago, he is actually in the Great North. Same with me. This gentleman is an amazing individual. He spent a lot of his first chapter at UBS in the banking industry. But then realistically, now he has the job that everybody wants to have and understand more of. So, you know, let's just get right into it. Colin Kingsmill, thank you so much for joining me today.
Robert, it's great to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I love it. When I look on my, one of my favorite things about researching you is that thing that says 100% bullshit free.
Oh yeah. on my
Tell
website.
Me more about that.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, how do I explain this and be polite at the same time?
No need to be.
Okay. I got into coaching about 5 years ago, I guess. And yeah. I really got into it because I've been in marketing, sales, branding, and communications for 25 years or something like that now. Wow. And I was really struggling with clients and getting them to understand how the world had shifted, right? How from a marketing perspective, you just can't use meaningless language anymore. You can't use, you know, tried and tested tactics. You've got to have, you know, you've got to have a brand promise that's meaningful. It's got to have more depth to it. And, you know, but you know, when you're talking to people that are selling luxury retail items and talking to them about depth, it's like, you know, it was tough. So I went back to school. I got my coaching certification and I got better at being, a consultant and in that space. But one of the things, I guess, from my past and my consulting work and my career is I found a lot of coaches kind of, how do I say this? You know, skirt around the issue, or they don't want to offend you, or they don't want to be direct, or they don't want to, you know, you've got to get to the destination on your own. And I get that, right? But sometimes you just have to be real and fast and direct and cut the crap with clients to get to their destination faster. So it's a tick that I have, and some people like it and they come back and give me good reviews, and others don't, which is fine. There's lots of people out there that will string you along. I'm much more of a kind of a catch and release kind of coach, right?
You're from Nova Scotia. You would use that.
Yeah, it's actually that's good. I haven't thought about that.
But, I like that catch and release. That's good.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of people, you know, the coaches or therapists or, you know, just generally, you know, consultants and stuff that want to keep you around. So you're paying the bills, right?
Yeah.
And it's probably a detrimental thing from my perspective. Cause I, you know, catch and release means you got to catch more, but so I'm direct, no bullshit.
But you're teaching them so much value. I think that's what's so, I love that catch and release because it's so valuable to lead in on a coaching perspective and say, hey, right. I want to teach you to be your own fish or your own whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that you can swim on your own. I'm not gonna be there with you. How hard is that? Like you were saying, how hard is that to be a coach like that? Because you're constantly looking for new clients to be able to do that for.
Well, look, I don't believe in stringing people along for a long time. And I think also, and I do this with my colleagues at Whole Human Coaching as well. The team believes that the coaching world, right, keeps. Right. So how should I say this? I'm trying to be really polite this morning. I don't know.
You don't have to be. But you missed the boat here.
But more boating analogies. We're going to get to yachts pretty soon too. But it's like we think that modern coaching is isn't responding to the times that we live in. Right. True. I think we live in very complex times. I think people are under an enormous amount of pressure, an enormous amount of stress. You know, social media, the news, the current events, what's going on, jobs, et cetera, is keeping people pretty stressed out. Right. So the base level of stress in our world is really elevated. Right. So I don't think that. I don't think that traditional coaching models, right, that where you as the client are supposed to get to the destination on your own, I don't think that's particularly giving people the best service today. So what I do is I'll mix in some mentorship, I'll mix in some experience I've had, I'll mix in some ideas, and it's just a way of getting people to clarity faster, right? Because life is a mess as it is, and you don't need a coach, you know, stringing you along for a year to get you to think about something or to get you to have clarity on that. So that's kind of my modus operandi. It's just a recognition of life is a mess, and you don't need a coach skirting around or flirting with, you know, a concept. Just go for it. Get there faster.
I love that because you put it perfectly on your site too, as well, by saying a life of fearless change. You're saying that about your life, but it's also similar to what you're talking about for coaching. Is like you're going to have change in your life, and you have to live with that fearless mentality. Tell me more about that fearless mentality for yourself, and then how do you translate that?
Well, look, I know myself, I lived in a sort of a fearful, I saw life through a fearful lens for many, many years. And the fear was primarily related to, you know, fear of not being worthy enough, fear of not being successful enough, fear of letting people down, you know, all of these things. And it really led to, you know, certainly in the first chapter of my life and a little less in the second chapter, but it led to me not being authentic, right? And so what I think fear does is it just holds you down and it keeps you pinned down and it keeps you from not being who you really are. Right. Not being who you really are, I think is not unleashing your true potential and the reason that you're here, your mission and your purpose in life. So for me, becoming fearless, well, first of all, you know, living in integrity. Right. Setting boundaries, saying no when you want to say no, eliminating the people in your life that are draining your energy, not replenishing it, and living fearlessly, it just unleashes you, right? It unleashes possibilities and potential, and it allows you to spend the energy that you might have been spending on fear or worry or adjusting to other people's paradigms or expectations. If you free that energy up, it's an incredible fuel source. So
it's not easy, right?
It's not easy. No, but would you rather pull off a Band-Aid now?
Right. I love that.
Yeah. Or you know, and this is medically and scientifically, I don't want to talk about it's not going down the science route, but it's proven now that a lot of disease comes from not letting go of traumas, not letting go of fears, a lot of self-limiting beliefs and storytelling that you go make you sick, right? I mean, there's classic books out there like Gabor Mate's book, When the Body Says No, or even his new book about the myth of normal, right? I would rather pull the Band-Aid now, right? Go through a little bit of pain. It might be a little bit hard now, but it's going to free you for a lifetime of opportunities and possibilities that fear is negating you, right? And
so true.
And potentially not only negating you in terms of possibilities and opportunities, but also potentially making you sick. So it hurts and it's hard, but I would rather be fearless today than, you know, sick in 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and I think a lot of people think that it's a one chance fearlessness because a lot of people go into things and go, oh, well, I didn't survive that one, or I didn't succeed at that one. Mm. I don't know if I can do it again. What would you tell those people that are thinking that? Because fear is always going to be there. It's either a driving force or it's a deterrent. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them?
That's exactly it, right?
Continuing. Yeah.
Do you want it to drive you, or do you want it to deter you? And that's a decision, right? That's a decision that you make. What was your question again?
I was saying, like, what would you tell people to be able to keep that mentality of continuing to drive forward, kind of like what you talk about with the challenges of, you know, challenges or change is challenging, and you have to be willing to go through the failures to get to the successes. How did you do that in your life?
Do you know what I did? At one point I decided not to judge the moment the experience on a short time scale. Right. So often we go through a situation, right? And we're like, oh, this sucks, or that sucks, or that's tragic, or this is, you know, devastating, you know, quote unquote. Right. And you never know. You don't know. So stop judging it, right? You don't know that something that might be totally terrible today, right? Yep. In a year, 2, 5, 10, 20 might be the best thing that's happened to you, right?
That's awesome.
So why judge it on a short time scale? Because then the judgment brings other sort of negative spiral down storytelling, right? That you tell yourself, self-limiting beliefs and all that other stuff. And then you don't, so you freeze. You freeze in that position, that space, that place of, ooh, I just failed there. So that means I won't be able to succeed in the future. Or that means I'm going to fail again or whatever, right?
Right.
But you just don't know. So don't stay in that stagnant space of judgment on yourself. Just keep going. Keep moving.
I love that. I love that. I want to get into kind of you talk about deconstruct to reconstruct. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that kind of goes right in that self-limiting narrative, what we were just talking about. Talk to me more about that, because that's something that you help individuals with, that you coach, right?
Right. Well, look, what all of us do, right, is we live life through a series of stories that we're telling ourselves. Stories, beliefs, narratives, you know, whatever you want to call it. And we make decisions every day, all day long, right? Based on those stories in our head, those beliefs in our head. And often they can be really, really limiting. So what I try and do with people is break those down, right? And find the origin story of where that belief is. Where did that come from? And you'd be surprised. Like,
that's huge.
Sometimes people will be like, oh my God, that self-limiting belief that's been holding me back, when I really think about it, it came from an experience when I was 9 or 10 or 8 or 7 or 6 or something like that. Or maybe when I was 20, I don't know. It doesn't really matter when it happened. But when you can recognize, right, and acknowledge that what you are doing today is seeing life through a lens, right? And I call them like an opaque lens, right?
That makes
you're
sense.
Not seeing clearly, right? You've got these lenses in front of you. So you're trying to see your reality, but the lenses of stories from the past are getting in the way. And they may be totally inhibiting you from an entrepreneurial perspective, from a business perspective, from a social perspective, from many different perspectives, right? So what I mean by deconstructing is all right, what do you believe, right? Yep. What are you telling yourself? What's the origin story, or what's the origin of that story? Okay.
That's good.
And is it serving you today? Most of the time it isn't. Okay. So if it's not serving you, let's discard it and let's come up with a story and a belief system that is. So wow. It really is like, you know, taking Lego apart, right? the Lego of our life.
Yeah.
You know, and some of it might be small T trauma. So I'll say, all right, go and talk to a therapist, go and see a, you know, trauma and loss therapist for, you know, 4 sessions and you'll fix it. You'll get it because you recognize it and you acknowledge it and you decide that it's no longer serving you. Okay.
Right.
And then you have the mental capacity and the space and the clarity through which you see life, right? Your the glasses, the lenses through which you see life, you have clarity to write new stories and tell yourself a different narrative. And it can be quite transformational, I think.
I love how you say the space, because that's such a huge thing. You know, I think people are so fundamentally wired to, in essence, just collect. Not only do we collect stuff, we collect memories, we collect our mindsets and all these things.
Yeah.
And we don't get rid of them.
Exactly.
Is it crazy? It's like, how would you tell people to get rid of these things in a more effective way?
Well, it really is about the dissection. It's about dissecting all of those things, right? Because we go through life, I think, not in a zombie state, obviously not, but
some of
but,
us.
But you know, we have the possibility of going through life and not completely dissecting all of those things, right? And thinking that that's normal. Right. Oh, my life is normal today because of A, B, C, D, you know, the alphabet soup that you just mentioned. But it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have, you don't have to live life based on the stories of the past. Right. So what I really
wait a second. Say that again, Colin, because that is such a critical thing for people to understand. You don't have to live life from the stories of the past. That's huge.
Yeah, based on the stories of the past that you tell yourself, because all of us go through life, right? With, I don't know, what is it? We have 70,000 thoughts in a day or something like that, right?
Holy cow.
And those are completely connected to your belief system that maybe it comes from some core wound of unworthiness or some small T trauma or maybe a big T trauma. But I'm saying that belief system, right, doesn't have to be that way. So what are the, what, you know, if you decide that you want to make a pivot, what new stories would you like to tell yourself? And that's where I begin to design them with someone, right? So it's an acknowledgement, right? It's a recognition. Okay. That happened. All right. What's the belief? This might be the belief, right? A is the belief. Yep. Is A serving you? If it's serving you, then you keep doing it. If it's not, let's take that energy, that space that, you know, because it's all of these things hold us back. Right. And they take up time. I mean, everybody that is listening, I'm sure, has goes through the day and tells themselves stories all day long, right? And thoughts and beliefs and talking to yourself and talking to your spouse or your partner or your colleagues. Yeah. So it's just a liberation. It's drawing a line in the sand. What's working for me in terms of those beliefs? What's not? And designing the new you, the new story, right? And that can be, I don't know, it can be vision boarding, it can be goal setting, it can be, you know, there's lots of different ways to design a new life. But, you know, you're be an architect, right?
Right. And now a lot of people look at your life and go, man, I want to have that job or that story. And we just talked about this, that 2020 thing that we're not going to say the words for, but everybody is like, oh, I want your job. I want to travel. I want to do all this stuff. You changed yourself to be now up in Nova Scotia and saying, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. How big of a change and how big of a feeling was that when you did that?
It was amazing. I mean, we decided that it was time to come home, right? And physically, emotionally, spiritually, every way. We had spent 12 years in Europe and lived in Montenegro and Serbia, Italy, Switzerland, and the UK. I just knew I wanted to come home. Not just to Canada, but also to myself, you know.
That's huge.
That's happened. But I suppose the nugget there to take away is no matter where you are, how much you've traveled, if you've been, you know, I've kind of seen it all, right? As you know from my bio, but the essence of who we are is not the places we've been and the things we accumulate and the job we have or the title we have. It's much simpler. It's just we're human beings and with basic needs and values, and the rest is just decoration. So
that's good. That's perfect.
So for me, it's like don't look for the decoration. Yeah. Look for yourself, you know. Don't look for the noise in a job or a career or a job title. Your sense of self and self-worth has to come from inside. It's not going to come from, any of the stuff that we are told if we buy and consume and get and have and accumulate that, you know, that will make us whole. Because it doesn't.
Right? It's so true. It's awesome that you're there to be able to help people to see that possibilities. Because like you say in here, I know because I've been there. How valuable has it been to you since changing those careers? Because you were very successful and now you're successful again in the coaching. How valuable is it for you to be able to instill that possibility into others?
I think it's kind of crucial. I think you know, the coaching industry is, you know, it's slightly regulated with the International Coaching Federation and things like that, but a lot of people can get into this business that don't have the depth of experience and wisdom or knowledge and I don't want to sound arrogant, but you know, I've been around the world and I've been up and down and everywhere in between. And I think that allows me to bring to the table, I don't know, what would you say?
The experience
and a bill of goods.
Yeah.
Because so many people, that I work with in business and coaching are still striving and have bought the bill of goods and, you know, but it's not working, you know, and you see that, you know, the States and Canada are the same from a mental health perspective or mental fitness perspective, but you see it in obesity, you see it in health and fitness, and you see it in medicine and things like that. We are not a healthy society, right?
Right.
Generally speaking. So what's wrong, right? What's not working? And for me, it's because we've lost touch with this sense of our common humanity. We've lost touch with who we really are. And we're being sold a bill of goods, whether it's from big media or social media or big pharma or big food. We're being sold a bill of goods or big shopping or whatever, that isn't going to get you, whole again. So
true.
So I guess my experience of having kind of been there and seen it all. And I can speak with gravitas to people about that journey. Right.
I love that. Make sure you go to colinkingsmill.com. You can find out more. Have one of the top coaches in the world. I'm going to just say it right outside.
Thank you. That's great. Mel Robbins might argue with you, but I'm happy to
whatever.
Be right
I don't even care.
With her.
I don't even care.
All right. I like it.
They can call me. That's fine.
I like it.
I appreciate your time today. I always end with the same three questions. Are you ready for those?
Uh-oh, probably not.
that's what I like to hear.
You definitely didn't give me any warning. So
that's the best part, you know. Hey, that's how you coach, though. Come on now.
Yeah, exactly. Put me on the spot.
Exactly. All right. If you could go back to your 18-year-old self and give yourself one piece of advice, what would that be?
Oh, don't follow the money.
Oh, I love that. That's so true.
Yeah.
So true. All right. Here's the second one.
Yeah, go for it.
Everybody's going through challenges and struggles in their own life. Mm-hmm. If you could give them two pieces of habits that they could incorporate into their daily life to be able to continue to move forward, what would those two things be?
Yeah, it would probably be to turn off the news and get informed.
I love that one.
Right. So turn off the noise. Yep. But get informed about things that are valuable to you and important, and really get informed.
Yeah, that's okay. So true. I love that. All right, this last one's fun.
Okay. Go for it. This whole thing's been fun.
That. Yeah. If you could have coffee at a firehouse table, so in other words, you can ask any question, everything is on the table, with three people, they can be deceased or alive, who would those three people be?
I think it would be Elon Musk, Albert Einstein, and... Oh, damn. Who would be the third? Joe Dispenza. I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with him. He's still alive. Yeah.
That's a good three right there. I like that.
You like those? Okay. I passed.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's not even about me. Yeah. Those are awesome. Great. Well, hey, Colin, it has been such a pleasure and an honor to have you on, and I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. This has been fun. I'd come back anytime, by the way.
I love it.
If you wanted to. Let's repeat anytime. I feel like we're not even out of first gear, my friend. So, yeah, anytime.
It's the tip of the iceberg. That's the Nova Scotia one, right? Like we had to go back to the boats.
Exactly. Lots of boat analogies here. But thank you very much. It's been fun.
I love it. Thanks again. And thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening and supporting the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Remember, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast. And please share this episode with a friend or family member. To find out more about Fireman Rob, or if you have a question, go to www.firemanrob.com. Until next time, live your life forged in the fires.